That's a hopelessly wrong price. It's cricket, only better.
What an innings, what a player. Take a bow, Ben Stokes.
Brian Charles Lara becomes the first man in the history of the game to register a score of 400.
Six sixes in an over. Yuvraj Singh finishes things off in style.
England have won the World Cup by the barest of margins.
Betfair Betting Podcast presents Cricket. Only better.
Welcome back. This is episode 57 of Cricket Only Better, TFI Friday. Wow, what a blockbuster show we've got packing in. Not one, not two, not three. No, actually three. It is three, isn't it? Match previews, plus a T20 tournament preview. Essentially, you can watch cricket for almost 24 hours a day on Friday. Just inject it straight into our veins. Sam Collins is absolutely beside himself.
You are technically correct, Ed Hawkins. I'm sitting here by myself, so I am indeed beside myself. But anyway, moving on. So much to get through, so little time to do it. Australia versus India, Friday in the first ODI. South Africa versus England in the first T20 and New Zealand versus West Indies in the first T20, plus the start of the Sri Lanka Premier League, which is on Thursday. So it spoils your intro a little bit, but I'm sure you'll get over that. Please tell me we have some guests on rather than you just talking percentages and what you're going to get up to on your Friday.
Yes, lucky. Paul Krishnamurti, betting.betfair colleague, is here to help us find best bets. They're coming towards the end of the show. And you'll also be able to check out our series previews on those two big ones, South Africa against England and Australia against India, from last week's show. Betfair's Stuart Conroy is also here to make sense of that Lanka Premier League. I spoke to him earlier, so that's pre-recorded.
Lovely stuff. Okay, on best bets this week, I'm going to be hard but fair, obviously, and demand you just only say one Ed Hawkins best bet from that little lot. Paul Krishnamurti will do likewise, so you better listen out at the end of the show for that goodness. Ed, I know you're chomping at the bit to remind everybody our best bets tally is still in profit.
Plus 4.48.
Oh, didn't even let me finish, did you? Yeah. Get in there. Keep going. Talking profits, remind us who this week's Mythbuster is.
It is Brett Lee. Would you have won money on him betting him for top Australia wicket taker? And does Sam Collins have an anecdote ready and raring to go?
For Brett Lee, no, I don't think.
Okay, but stay tuned anyway, because it's going to be great. The Lanka Premier League, another franchise T20 tournament, begins on Thursday, and it's a puzzler. There's going to be 23 games and two semi-finals, and then obviously a final. No eliminators or qualifiers for this one. And we've got five teams to choose from on the outright with Betfair Sportsbook. I'm going to read out the prices now for you. They're going Kandy Tuskers 11-4 favourite, Dambulla Vikings 4s, Colombo Kings 10-3, Gaul Gladiators 5-2, Jaffna Stallions 5-1, these names are going to mean absolutely nothing to you. So let's bring a man in who priced up that market, Stuart Conroy from Betfair Sportsbook. How are you doing, Stuart?
I'm good, Ed. Good to chat with you again.
So how on earth have you gone about pricing up this market? Because it's been a nightmare for you, hasn't it? Because this Lanka Premier League, well, it's supposed to have been all done and dusted by now, but I can't remember how many times it's been postponed. But players are coming in and coming out like a revolving door.
Yeah, it's a crazy situation. I think this is the third attempt at running this tournament after two previous cancellations. And even when you look at the teams that are there, the original players that were drafted, there's so many of them that are gone now that the tournament is beginning. And even now, you've got players missing flights to get their way to Sri Lanka for the start of it. So, yeah, it's been an interesting one to try and price. I think the original prices I've had a couple of times, I've had to just scramble up into a ball and just throw it into the bin and start again. Yeah, I don't think there's a great deal between the five sides that there, to be honest. The one thing, I suppose, the biggest thing when we look at the games in this part of the world is how good your bowling attack is, because, you know, pretty much when you've got 23 games here in the same stadium, I'm not sure how many pitches they're going to be able to rotate. I think as the tournament goes on, pitches are going to become lower and slower. And if you've got good Sri Lankan style bowlers that's there who can turn the ball a lot, you could have balls turning 90 degrees at times.
Yeah, I think that's true. And I think that's worth bearing in mind as the matches come thick and fast, generally on slow and low pitches. We saw it, see it actually favouring the chaser because the side batting first doesn't know what a good score is. We've seen that in the Caribbean Premier League when we've had a lot of games on one venue. Something to bear in mind. Bear in mind also, betting.betfair will be doing a tipping sheet for every day of this tournament. I think it's going to be about two games a day. I can see why you've made Candy Tusker's favourite. I'm just going to read out some names and people will understand why. You've got the two Kusals, Pereira and Mendes for Candy, Brendan Taylor, the Zimbabwean, the Sailor Gunaratne, Sikuj Prasana, Sahail Tanvir, who has tested positive for COVID. So I don't know whether that means he plays or not. But it's clear Candy Tuskers have probably got the best 11 man for man, and that's why you've made them favourites, right?
It's kind of, if you looked at it from a horses for courses point of view, guys that are used to these kind of conditions, used to these type of pitches, there's probably nobody better than the likes of Kusal Mendes and Kusal Pereira in these kind of conditions. They've got a good bowling attack as well. Nuwan Pradeep, I've always really liked in these kind of conditions. And again, you know, they've built around that as well. They've got the likes of Dale Steyn. He's on his way from South Africa. I don't think he's going to play in the first couple of games, but he's going to be a vital addition to that side as well.
We've seen Dale Steyn in the IPL and he didn't do too well, but the quality on show here is not going to be as high as the IPL. So that's something to bear in mind in terms of form. And I'd say the same about Andre Russell, who will turn out for the Colombo Kings. Had a poor IPL, had a poor CPL. A little bit worried about the pitches, but if he's fit, Colombo Kings have got quite a strong middle order there with Angelo Matthews, Andre Russell and Isuro Dana doing some hitting at the end. I mean, are they one of the sides which might prize Candy Tuskers? I mean,
yeah, it's an interesting one with Colombo. I mean, like everything, Andre Russell, I don't know the last time I saw Andre Russell 100% fit. A lot of the time in the Caribbean Premier League, he certainly wasn't fit. A lot of the time, again, in IPL, it was the same situation. I think Colombo are going to try and base themselves on a lot of big hitting at the opening of the innings. They've brought in two good English county players in Daniel Bell Drummond from Kent, Laurie Evans from Sussex. You know, guys that are really good T20 players at the top of the order. They're going to try and get off to a fast start each time, and then look towards the middle order guys like even Dinesh Chandamal, Udana, you know, guys like that, to see if they can, you know, get them over the line. I think their problem is going to be, I think they could struggle from a bowling point of view. They're going to be heavily dependent on the likes of Chimira Vandazay and even the Afghan player as well, Quaz Ahmed. I think once it gets, if they start losing a couple of players and start getting into the depth, they'll find that there isn't the same level of quality that maybe some of the other teams have.
I think my pick for this one, just because it's such a... the talent gulf isn't really there in this tournament. I'm quite interested to see how Jaffna Stallions go, because I quite like the look of their bowling attack, provided they pick Usman Shinwari, the Pakistan left-arm quick. There's a dearth of left-arm quicks. Jaffna have got Prabhas Jasiri, who's a tremendous record, so left-arm bowler, insane economy rate. Thisara Pereira can bash it at the end. Shoaib Malik is exactly the type of batsman you want in these kind of conditions. And they might be able to do a change-up with Johnson Charles for Tom Moores, the Notts player, to give him a bit more impetus up front. And Jaffna are the absolute rags here, and I think they might be worth a little bit of an interest.
Yeah, absolutely. They're certainly not the worst, you know, team that's there. I said, because of the real lack of depth throughout the tournament, I think it does bring the teams closer together. Jaffna, I mean, again, they have a decent enough bowling attack. Juan Oliveira and Kyle Abbott, you know, two very decent bowlers. Whether they can adapt to those kind of conditions, be an interesting one to see. I think Shoaib Malik showed in the Pakistan Super League, he still has it. Like, I mean, he seems like a fine wine. He seems to get better with age. And again, like Pereira, the captain this year for them, he can absolutely biff it down the order. And like, yeah, I've always liked him as in this format again.
There you go then. I think we've made a little bit of sense for the Lanka Premier League. Starts Thursday, betting.betfair covering it. Thanks, Stuart.
No problem, Matt. Good chat with you again.
It's everybody's favourite time of the week, Buster of the Myths. This is Brett Lee to £10 level stakes. Would you have won money on him for top Australia wicket taker during his ODI career? And going once, going twice, going three times. Sam Collins, do you have an anecdote for Brett Lee?
I don't think so. I spent most of the time trying to cook up that anecdote, thinking that you're going to get as an accidental partridge with your Buster of the Myths shenanigans. But I don't think I've got anything.
You never shook his hand dressed as a lion or...
No, not really. I just, no.
Okay. I did see him bowl against Andrew Strauss in Sydney in that Down Under series after the, you know, the epic 2005 series. And yeah. Must say, I've never seen anybody bowl quicker. It was absolutely terrifying. And also terrifying in ODI cricket as well, because this is quite an interesting myth buster. We've got 5-2 average odds from Betfair Sportsbook's Stuart Conroy. I'm sure you're probably absolutely frothing at the mouth at those odds.
Again, it feels, well, it doesn't feel great, does it? But I'm not as despondent as I might be. I still fancy him at 5-2, I have to say.
Okay, well, let's find out how Brett Lee got on, the blonde bombshell. Well, I suppose he might have had highlights, actually. Do you think he dyed his hair, Brett Lee?
This is, we really need to come up with better anecdotes if we're just going to be debating with Brett Lee.
I saw Brett Lee in a hair salon once on the Islington Road.
Ed Hawkins was like, I once bumped into Brett Lee and the gents at, no, let's not go there.
I did bump into Sourav Ganguly on a tube train once. Maybe that's next week's Mythbuster anecdote sorted already. Look, Brett Lee played 221 times. He took just six games to get a winner.
I've got some good Gangulis, by the way. But anyway, okay, so let's definitely do Ganguly next week.
Oh, wonderful. Okay. And you've got a good anecdote about Sourav Ganguly as well. He took five wickets against India in Adelaide, and I haven't written down the date, but it's six games. Here, six back-to-back wins. He won three in a row twice. He won four in a row twice. He had 20 dead heats with one other bowler and 25 other dead heats with three other bowlers, four, five, six, etc., etc. Boring, boring maths. 41 wins overall. He was winning you something 39% of the time. Brett Lee, wow. A Mythbuster winner at £53.58. Where does that put him on our charts?
That puts him as our top bowler for sure. Michael Bevan plus 460, Ross Taylor plus 190, Owen Morgan plus 130, Brett Lee plus 53.58. And imagine what his plus would have been was Stuart a little bit fairer with the odds. But you know, you look at the other bowlers on there: Shane Warne minus 4.93, Murali minus 1435. Sasha minus 130 in his batsman. So Brett Lee, pretty good, I think.
And Sourav Ganguly is next week's Mythbuster. Probably played about 732 games, so bound to be a loser. But who cares about that? We've got some great anecdotes, some great Ganguly-isms coming your way next week.
Australia versus India from the Sydney Cricket Ground, Friday, 3:40 a.m, live on BT Sport. Here are the Betfair Sportsbook prices. Australia 8-11, India 11-10, and the possible 11s. Australia, Finch, Warner, Stoinish, Labuschagne, Smith, Carey, Maxwell, Cummins, Stark, Hazelwood, Zampa, India, Agarwal, Dhawan, Kohli, Iyer, Rahul, Hardik, Jadeja, Chahal, Kuldeep, Bumrah and Shami. And here, Ed Hawkins's pitch report.
5 out of 6. At SCG Day Night is won by the side batting first. Not a big enough study sample, I can hear you shouting it. But in all day nighters in history there, 57% bias for the team batting first, which is significant. 300 busted in four of those first innings. I think it's going to be a good wicket. 300 a minimum going first, I think. Australia love to bat first, last 20 at home, done so 15 times and won 9. India won 22 out of the last 30 chases away from home.
Oh, thank you very much, Ed Hawkins. Here is Paul Krishnamurti. Welcome back, Paul.
Hi, Sam.
What do you make of this one?
Well, as we discussed last week, I prefer Australia here. And I think the stats that Ed just laid out for the ground, for the run stats, really kind of reinforces that. Sydney is a place where 320 plus is par, most probably. We've seen like a 350 and a 400 there in recent years, 376 as well. And of the two attacks, I think that India are going to have much more trouble containing this very powerful Australian batting lineup. The bet that I like in particular, as well as Australia for the series, as we laid out previously, I like 4-5 on Australia hitting the highest 15 over score. Again, it's about the bowlers. I just think it will be much harder to get away against Stark and Hazelwood than it will be against Shami and Bumrah in Australian conditions. And also, first match of the series away from home in Australia, India have been quite conservative with the bat in recent times. Are they really going to come out firing on all cylinders? Whereas Australian openers don't really know any other way.
Paul, you were down on India last week. You're down on India this week so far. Is there anything at all that might make you want to bet anything towards the outsiders?
Not until I can see that their bowlers are fully effective in those conditions, no. And especially at the start of the series, I would definitely prefer Australia.
Oh, this is, Paul, you're so negative. You're negative on India. I don't like that. Ed Hawkins, where's the value on the side markets?
Having a look at Australia top bat winner, just a couple of prizes to pick out. 16-1, Glenn Maxwell with Betfair Sportsbook, 8% win rate. Look, he's not a 16-1 chance. The problem is he might be batting down at number 7. Stoinis is 8-1, and he batted at number 3 last time out. Now, that last time out was that sensational chase by Australia against England at Old Trafford, I seem to recall. That's when Maxwell got a big century. Alex Carey also got a century as well. The main one people will want to look at is David Warner. He's got a 28% chance on 2-and-a-bit-year form. Sportsbook go 11-4, which is just under 27%. So we can't recommend backing Warner, basically, because the price is not wrong. And we only bet when the price is wrong, as you well know. Sam, Australia top bowler. I like Josh Hazelwood a lot at 7-2 with Sportsbook. He is the standout value in a competitive market. That is a wrong price. Mitchell Starc, 5-2 favourite. Pat Cummins, second favourite at 3-1. Adam Zampa, 4-1. Was excellent against England and was winning that market. But the price is right.
Okay. Ed Hawkins, Virat Kohli, 21-10 with Sportsbook. Any value there is record-trumping reputation.
Well, this is a good one to bring Paul in on, I think. Kohli's got one win in his last 17 ODI and T20 appearances for India, so he's well overdue a winner. There's no Rohit Sharma, which makes it far more easy for him to win because Rohit is actually more reliable on this market than Virat. But 21-10 is a win rate of 32%, and his career rate is 26%, and last 2.5 years, it's 27%. So, Paul, do we get involved with that or do we be absolutely regimented on price? I'll also ask you, he's 4-1 for top run scorer in the entire match. Now, only two other players in the history of ODI cricket, Tendulkar and Jayasuriya, have better records in match top scoring. He's bang on 20%, which is 4-1. Warner, by the way, 19%, and Sportsbook go 5s. So just pick the bones out of that for me, mate.
Well, I think the Warner stats, what you said about the Warner in first place, that's spot on, that the odds are correct. And I'll say that about Kohli. You very rarely get value with Kohli. He can be the right odds, but then that's not really the sort of market where I'd like to back the favourite. So I'd leave that alone. I'd be looking for value. No one particularly stands out. I think you mentioned Stoinis might bat at 3. That would be my value bet if there was amongst the run scorers. But to me, unless the odds are badly wrong, I wouldn't want to touch a favourite.
Ed Hawkins, whispers in the wind that the Indian top bowler market is interesting you, mainly because of one bet you don't want people to make.
Yeah, I don't want people to bet Jasprit Bumrah at 5-2. He's the favourite. His win rate is 15.6% in the last 51 matches. Sportsbook are offering 28.6%. So answers on a postcard as to why anyone would be taking such a terrible bet. Mohammad Shami's got a 23% win rate. He's 3-1, which is 25%. It's not a massive edge for a guy that needs it to swing. So it's probably a market we'll leave alone. But don't bet Bumrah, please.
Okay, excellent. Paul, we've touched on your 15 overs match bet market, haven't we? Runs match bet market earlier. So I suppose that about wraps it up. Stick around to see which of those prices survived the best bet. Paul, you're sticking around too. Thank you. Coming up next, we're going to look at the T20s between South Korea and England and New Zealand and West Indies. Friday, 4 o'clock, South Africa versus England from Cape Town. Betfair Exchange prices now 2.36 South Africa, 1.67 England. These are the possible teams. Stand by for some incorrect pronunciations. De Kock, Bavuma, Faf du Plessis, Clyson, Miller, Van Biljon, Pretorius or Smuts, or Nokje, or Fuelakeu. We'll pause on that one. Shamsi, Rabada, Ngidi, England, Butler, Bairstow, Milan, Stokes, Morgan, Moeen Ali, Curran T, Jordan, Rashid, Archer, Wood. Pitch report, Ed Hawkins.
Toss bias at Newlands in ODI. Downing the Chaser is one of the most famous toss biases in the world. Not in 2020. No evidence it's harder here to bet under lights in this format. There have been 10 night games, 166 the average score, 170 or more wins half the time. Signs that run rate is beginning to creep up. So I think the side batting first is looking for about 170. That would be par here. But Paul might have different views on that, I think.
Right, well, we will come to that in a second. Last week, we pointed out the problem with South Africa, number 7 slot. Do they go bowler heavy, hope to blow England away? Or do they pick a guy who isn't really suited to number 7, as we've just seen with that mess of a possible 11? The odds are clear that England will win, but anything to disagree, Paul?
Not specifically. I do think England are a better team this series. And I don't particularly rate South Africa, who I think could be a bit brittle and a bit reliant on the top order. However, I wouldn't want to be playing odds on pre-match before the toss and before and commit too much before seeing the overhead conditions, because that's so important in South Africa. If it's a good pitch, I would be looking to back overs on England. But not too much over, because the if you look through history, there's never been a 200 score in the in T20s, but two of the last three were over 190. And I think that kind of 180 at 190 part is a very solid par range for England. So if we were going overs on that, I'd want to try and lay back in running at 200.
Lovely stuff. Ed, you have a trade on this one, on the innings runs?
Yeah, well, I just think agreeing with Paul that you know, England are liable to go very well with the bat. And it's just worth pointing out that over the last 12 months, these two sides, South Africa and England, are two of the most profligate sides in the world in the field in 2020. South Africa's economy rate is 9.4 and 8.6, 12-month and two-year splits, ranking them the most expensive and second most expensive. England, joint second worst last 12 months, and the third worst. England have got a better scoring rate over that time. So I think South Africa are hugely vulnerable to going around the park. And there is that option to be playing high prices of 200, 210, 220, easy, cheap bets, if you like, big returns for little risk. But as Paul said, have a look at those overhead conditions. At the moment, as we record, it's cloudy, but of course that could all change, I think.
Just speaking to that, what you were just saying about their profligacy, Ed, this is a fantastic little trade. On the sports book, in the odds on that section, you've got 11-4 about both teams scoring 170. Surely that's a bet we have in the first, before the first innings, 11-4. And if the first inning score is beyond 170, we'll probably be able to lay the chasing team at less than 11-4.
Yeah, it does seem to make sense, that given the data that we've got on leaky bowling attacks, I think.
Ed Hawkins, I gather you are rather hot on somebody for top England run scorer.
I've always got the hots for David Milan. He's my first and only love in top T20 run scorer bets. He's got an even money record over the last two and a bit years, and he's going off at 9-2. We've written about it all. We've written about him all lockdown as being one of the most underrated T20 players in the world. And I know Paul Krishnamurti agrees with me. You think he's a standout bet, don't you, mate?
Yeah, the odds are completely wrong. You know, working, okay, obviously he hasn't got a 50% chance. That's not reflective. But there's no way he's more than 3-1 with his numbers. He's got by far and away the best T20 average of any player in the England side.
Yeah, and yet you always suspect that England are looking for an excuse not to pick him. But of course, if he doesn't play, then you get your money back anyway. So look, 9-2 is absolutely horribly wrong, and we need to make them pay for that, I think.
Excellent stuff. Thank you, guys. Best bets still to come, and New Zealand versus West Indies coming up too.
It's a bit like which ones will survive, isn't it, for best bets? Which one will be eliminated? We maybe get people to vote in to pick a bet to survive to the next round.
That sounds like a wonderful idea, Ed Hawkins. You can franchise it, maybe.
Yeah.
New Zealand versus West Indies. Again, it is on Friday, in case you have not been paying attention. I can't believe that for a moment, but just in case. 6 a.m, Eden Park, Auckland. Betfair Sportsbook, New Zealand 8-13 favourites. West Indies 5-4. Here, some more possible teams, because you love hearing me list out names into the ether. New Zealand, Guptill, Phillips, Conway, Seifert, Taylor, Mitchell, Neesham, Jameson, Santner, Southee, Ferguson. West Indies, King, Fletcher, Poran, Hetmeyer, Pollard, Powell, Rutherford, Allen, Cottrell, Thomas, Walsh. Hashtag no Williamson, no Bolt. And here is my glamorous assistant, Ed Hawkins, with his pitch report.
Yeah, I've been demoted over the shows, 57 shows, and it's finally happened. 5 out of 8 have been won by the fielding first team in night games only, as a run rate of 9.1 in those 8 games. 200 have been busted, 3 of the last 8 in all conditions. Run rate steadily climbing, as you would expect in a format which is still relatively new. We're expecting first innings score of at least 170 when you mash up all the data.
New Zealand 8-13, West Indies 5-4. West Indies look a more powerful unit to me. Unit? I sound like Steve Finn, but they look like a more powerful team.
Yeah, I think you're right. New Zealand are 6 on the official rankings, playing 9 West Indies. But as you may recall, some time ago, many, many shows ago, we spoke about this West Indies team and their relevance to these official rankings being absolutely none whatsoever, because they're now actually picking their best team. So that means nothing. And man for man, I would expect West Indies to be considered the better team in this matchup.
Surely, Paul Krishnamurti, the value is West Indies with their 6 hitters, fantastic wicket takers, etc., etc. What do you think? Where are you?
Yeah, I think the odds, again, the odds are completely wrong here. There is no way that this West Indies side is 2.4 against New Zealand, especially lacking Williamson Bolt. You know, it's West Indies at full strength in T20 are arguably as good as anybody, and they've won 2 of the last 3 World Cups. And with similar kind of trends in the in between those World Cups, where weaker lineup struggles, but this is a good lineup. New Zealand aren't at full stretch. It's a ground that where 60s make a lot of difference, where you can get huge scores. It was a 243 here not long ago, and you've got to think that West Indian side will be better. I mean, the middle order looks amazing: Hetmeyer, Poran, Powell, Pollard. That's a lot of sixes in there.
A lot of P's too. Ed Hawkins, you've been scuttling around the side markets. Where's the value?
Conway could open for New Zealand, although I suspect it will be Glenn Phillips, because he's done that in franchise tournaments and done very, very well. Conway has sensational form domestically this year, 4-1 sportsbook. So don't be surprised if he does open, but also don't be surprised if he does well at number 3. I note the 6-1 about Hamish Bennett being top New Zealand bowler. To quote Paul Krishnamurti, it's just a wrong price. He probably won't play, but that doesn't matter. The last 10 games, he's taken 3 wickets 4 times. He's a gunslinger. He's an out-and-out wicket taker, and that's all he's going to be in the side to do. He could pick up 3 wickets very, very easily. Guptill 9-4 top New Zealand bat. Don't bet him. It's a wrong price. It's just a wrong price from the point of view of the punter. His win rate is 15%, and they're saying he's got a 30% win chance. So no, just no. West Indies top batsman Pollard 8-1. That's standout. Sportsbook goes 7-2 Fletcher and King. They're going to open. They're making Perrin 16-5 favourite here. Fletcher, very decent performer. So always, we're always looking for big prices on openers or out of line prices on openers. So something to consider there.
Great. What about an in-play trade strategy, Paul? Anything you've got? Anything lined up for us on that?
So once again, I think the golden rule is to check the overheads, because it could be swinging around. But if it isn't, if we can expect good conditions, then I would definitely be looking to about 200 plus here with these sides. As I say, like, even a 240 is gettable and probably chaseable. So I suspect if those market trends hold up, then West Indies, if they bat first, you're going to be able to get good odds on them getting even 180. You'll probably get 3.0 and I'm getting 1.180. So I'd go for that.
Great. Okay. Thank you. Best bets time. In a flash, we'll return with our two best wagers. Words I never thought I'd say, but Paul and Ed are going to thrash out these two top wagers by the end of this jingle. Best bets time. Good show, good data, good analysis, but show us the money. Paul, you're first. What is your top tip?
West Indies at 2.4 to beat New Zealand. I don't even think 2.4 will hold up before the match starts once people realise the team news, with New Zealand being weaker without Kane Williamson and Bolt. New Zealand have lost 15 of their last T20 at Nationals, and three of the five wins came against Sri Lanka. West Indies are the world champions, and they're pretty much almost at full strength now.
Okay, get it while it's hot. Ed Hawkins, I already know what this is, but come on, tell us.
David Milan, top England run scorer at 9-2 in their first T20 against South Africa on Friday at Newlands. Win rate of 50%, and although we're not saying he's got a 50% chance, the price is just hopelessly, hopelessly wrong. So it's not a bad bet. It's a rational, sensible wager, and that's what we're all about. And by the way, I absolutely concur with Paul on West Indies being the bet in that New Zealand game. And I know he concurs with this David Milan bet as well. So look, there's two absolutely bonkers bets for you there.
Lovely stuff. Right, well, time for us to channel our inner Andrea Bocelli's and wish Paul a time to say goodbye to Paul. So
thank you, guys.
Terrible.
Pleasure as always.
I really butchered that, didn't I? Thanks, Paul. It's lovely stuff.
And time to say, check out betting.betfair for full match previews of these games, plus daily tipping sheets for that Lanka Premier League. We're back next week when we start previewing the Big Bash.